Hello and a very warm welcome to everyone joining us for today's Select Science webinar entitled The Future of Engineered Polymerases,
so, Zeroing the Step of Quantitative Reverse Transcription PCR.
My name is Dr. Carrie Haslam and I'll be moderating today's presentation. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Kevin E. Boyd-Burdon, Senior Director of Molecular Diagnostic Reagents at Medics Biochemica Group, and Professor Andreas Marks, Professor of Organic Chemistry at the University of Konstanz, to find out the latest developments in polymerase engineering. In this webinar, our experts will also explore TAC DNA polymerase and how this displays high tolerance to sample inhibitors to enable the direct detection of DNA and/or RNA from crude samples. After the presentation, we'll move on to our question and answer session. Please feel free to ask any questions for the Q&A session at any time during the webinar. You can submit your questions at the left of your screen. During the presentation, we will also be releasing some poll questions, so please do answer these as the presentation goes along. So without further delay, I would like to hand over to our speakers and would like to thank them for presenting with us today. Please go ahead.
What this product does now is that it really
Hello everyone, thanks for joining this webinar.
And really,
my name is Kevin Boyd-Burdon, and I head the Molecular Diagnostic Business Unit at Medics Biochemica. Today I will really be showing some highlights of how we have utilized advances in DNA polymerase engineering for improving quantitative reverse transcriptase PCR protocol. So a bit about Medics Biochemica. Medics Biochemica is an independent, international, and a leading provider of raw materials for IVD as well as life science industry. We have a global
reach. Aspects, of course, we have the most important is, of course, getting across more and more into these continent. Other screening
but in addition
formats,
to that,
where you can
offer both local
big libraries
and
you can adapt these kind of screening technologies to
globally.
Very,
we really focus on
very particular conditions. That's something I think would be really the future of the engineering and going away from my dream, going away from purification.
So Molecular Diagnostic Division, the
substrates and
webinar today will be really focused on the Molecular Diagnostic Division,
the aim,
which is the division
we follow
I
here at my, here my research really base.
Focus on offering best-in-class
raw
materials and reagents for molecular diagnostic applications.
I think also
for qPCR,
as the diagnostic market is demand for genotyping,
in addition to that,
which are faster,
we do offer some custom
which can be used at home. So
development
I see
services,
also,
custom RNA,
there will be the need to
services,
engineer even much
as
faster
well as, free
enzymes, which can allow diagnostic tests to be performed in minutes. Tests that can be used at home, so no extraction.
So back
so
to
I
basis,
see quite a lot of
going back
focus
to
also in that area as well. In terms of
PCR is typically performed. QRT-PCR.
That's great, thank you both. So we've got another question that's come through, and this one is, if we start from DNA and not RNA, what would
be
the PCR runtime
before you can use them in RT-qPCR?
I would say it depends. It depends on the primer design. It depends on the instrument that you're using.
The next step is really to convert your RNA.
I know that there are customers who have run, even with our reagents, with
that is
minutes,
then subsequently amplified.
So in that sense,
DNA
it's hard to say, depending
on
what application you're doing, what instrument.
PCR,
so they will they need to
really about repeated.
There's the need to have do some optimization
to
get the fastest number
extension
that you could get.
But
in principle,
step,
like I said, this could be
typically
in
the enzyme
single,
used
single digits.
It's called the reverse transcriptase. In this enzyme, it's very sensitive to to heat, so therefore, the reverse transcriptase part of the QRT protocol needs to be done at temperatures between 40 to 50 degrees, typically. Once the RNA has been successfully converted to DNA, and then the PCR amplification and detection actually occurs. In total, typically the standard QRT PCR step can take between 90 to 120 minutes. Using advances in DNA polymerase engineering, we've been able to significantly shorten the total RT-PCR protocol by engineering attack DNA polymerase that has both reverse transcriptase and PCR amplification activity. So in this case, we do no longer need the isothermal reverse transcriptase steps, which could take up to 30 minutes. That is totally removed from the protocol. And that really significantly shortens the time to detection. So the reverse transcription as well as the PCR amplification all happens simultaneously at a high temperature. So here is a typical example where we have used an engineered highly thermostable DNA polymerase that has also reverse transcriptase activity in form of a master mix, which we call the Volcano master mix for the robust detection of mRNA target. With a protocol like this, we can now significantly shorten the time turnaround time of detection of a specific target of interest. And typically, these protocols can really be further optimized depending on the instrument, depending on the cycle time, that one can really significantly reduce this detection time to single digits in minutes. This slide further shows some additional examples where we have really validated the zero-step protocols in a number of RNA targets, such as the human mRNA target that I've just mentioned earlier, RSV, as well as influenza. Again, you can see that the typical reverse transcriptase step is no longer needed, and the whole PCR amplification can start directly without pre-incubation at lower temperatures. So here's a multiplex SARS-CoV assay, which we also demonstrate the zero-step protocol. As you know, most of us, everyone is familiar with the SARS-CoV virus due to the pandemic we've had for the last over the last 2 years. But clearly, what we show here is that using the zero-step amplification method, you can really significantly reduce the time of running your COVID-19 diagnostic test. And truly, this will ensure that patients can get their result quicker. And then comes really back to the question about thermostability, how thermostable our reverse transcriptase, how thermostable is our enzyme. We compared our reagents to two leading suppliers of other thermostable reverse transcriptases. What we can clearly see here after 15 minutes of incubation, already after 60 degrees, the competitor's reagent, there is already a huge loss of activities. Why for our reagent, it remains stable at 95 degrees and actually retains the activity at a higher temperature. What this really means is that there is the degree, this offers really flexibility in asset development, but also we can use the fact that because these enzymes are stable at 95 degrees for a prolonged period of time, we can also pre-treat our biological specimen or the specimen of interest at a higher temperature in order to reduce any potential inhibition So with this kind of high thermostability, we can really, this really allows the detection of direct detection, allows the direct detection of clinical specimen using such highly thermostable enzyme. And finally, just to summarize, is that really DNA and RNA polymerase are really core components of molecular diagnostics, particularly qPCR. In addition, that is also DNA and RNA polymerase originator is also the core competence here at Medix Biochemica. A really good polymerase really allows robustness and really ensures that the diagnostic test, molecular diagnostic test, is robust. And then these enzymes can also be offered in terms of in form of customized format. The high thermostability of this enzyme really simplifies the workflow and also reduce any potential sample derived inhibition that may occur from the biological specimen of interest. The zero-step approach really further shortens the time to result. It takes a shorter time to run a diagnostic test. This will really save time and also money. So just to summarize, the core competence of our molecular diagnostic division, we have strong expertise in DNA, RNA polymerase engineering, as well as enzyme development. But in addition to that, we also have strong competence and history also in also developing diagnostic tests, which really means that we can support our customers really throughout their test development journey, right from concept to commercialization. So for further inquiries about our offerings and services, to reach out to us at Medix Biochemica. Thank you very much for your time today, for listening. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me here. And it's a great pleasure to continue after Kevin. And I would like to tell you a bit about our activities on shaping DNA polymerases for advanced applications. And I would start with a very, very bold question or bold statement at the beginning, and that of course nature has not shaped DNA polymerases for advanced applications. So it's not nature that made DNA polymerases to work in PCR applications. It's engineering, and we are embarked on that. We do shape DNA polymerases for advanced application, and I would like to guide you through two let's say main achievements of our group over the years. First, I would like to start with a project that's on tamming the giants of DNA polymerases to make them more behave to increase the selectivity. This we started with tuck DNA polymerases, and over the years we learned a lot of the structure of tuck DNA polymerases and this smaller sister, the ClanTuc DNA polymerases. And looking at the crystal structure of tuck polymerases, it's apparent that many, many polar interactions of the side chains to the backbone of the DNA are taking place. Now, they are all highlighted in this figure here and in this illustration. On the primer strand, you see there these kind of interactions that all go from arginines, so the R residues, over to a lysine. And they not only are active at the very end of the primer strand, they are reaching far away from the primer terminus. And we looked at the selectivity of a DNA polymerase to look at extension of a matched or mismatched base pair at the very primer end. What we did is we addressed all these mutations, all these sites and its saturation mutagenesis, looked at DNA polymerases that have increased selectivity, but also increased selectivity. And at the end, we tested a few of them that looked very promising. Show you some results now here. It's a typical primer extension experiments we do. So we label primer strands with a radioactive phosphate at the 5' terminus, and then look whether this primer strand is extended by incorporation of nucleotides using dNTP substrates. And here we look at a TA matched primer terminus versus the extension of a TG mismatched primer terminus. You see here the results we obtained for some selected mutations. And you see the wild-type enzyme. The wild-type enzyme under the chosen condition does, KTQ stands for ClanTaq DNA polymerase, so this is the smaller sister of Taq DNA polymerase. It stands for, it extends the matched one, so there's an A in the template stands, but it also extends the mismatched primer terminus. That's of course not what we wanted. And if you look at several other mutations, as you see them listed here, for instance, R587K mutation, we see that we've changed this, we see that from the arginine to lysine, we see extension in the matched case, but almost no extension if the mismatched case. And using these enzymes later on in PCR applications, we really could look at single nucleotide variations in the genome using genomic DNA. With the, for instance, if you have look at the factor 2 prothrombin mutation in humans, if you have the wild type, we have an A there, it gets amplified if you use the right primer. If you have a mutation that is homozygous, we see amplification if we have the canonical matched one, but not the non-canonical one, and the heterozygous one, we see both are amplifying. And this is all verified by not only by real-time PCR, this is also verified by gel analysis. These results we have published already some while ago, and however, this enzyme then was further tested in other applications that we haven't published to a great extent so far, using them in liquid biopsy applications, and again using them directly from blood plasma, so without any purification of the DNA, the genomic DNA from the blood plasma. We looked at the T2A mutation in the PRAF gene that will lead to this amino acid exchange, which is pretty prominently discussed in the liquid biopsy field. And as I said, we started with 20% blood plasma, no purification of the genomic DNA, and looked how one of our polymerases that we have evolved performs in this setting. And we were very delighted to see that even if we have only 10 copies of the mutated one in a background of 10,000 copies of the wild type one, we can detect this, as you can see here in this green curve. And this was then the basis for founding our company, MyPulse, in 2014. Since 2022, we are part of the Medix Biochemical Group, and this enzyme has been further developed for real-world applications, like if you're looking for mutations, like SNP detections, other specific PCR, or looking at quality control in CRISPR-Cas applications. That's the right enzyme. It's a called Heidi DNA polymerase, as we call them, at MyPulse. We can even do genotyping directly from blood with any other purification, and MyPulse is producing them also as LyoBeads, freeze-dried master mixes containing this enzyme for your applications. Okay, let's come now to the second project. We looked at an enzyme that has now an extended substrate scope. So DNA polymerases, they use a DNA template, which is bound to a DNA primer and synthesize the copy DNA. However, they can't use RNA as a substrate, but RNA, as you know, is often important for pathogen diagnostics, like we have in the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic in the moment. So we intended to engineer DNA polymerases, reverse transcriptase, and PCR activity all in one enzyme. How do we do this? So we start with a DNA polymerase gene. We diversify this gene by, for instance, an error-prone PCR, so introduce random mutations into the gene. Then we ligate it into an expression vector, transform it to E. coli, pick single colonies of them, and have these colonies expressing the TAC mutant from the crude but cleared and lysed cell lysates. We then do real-time PCR analysis and look on DNA polymerase mutants that are active. And so we have a positive mutant, gives a positive real-time PCR signal, and the negative one stays down. And if we add in this PCR reactions an RNA template, then we can find out of the thousands of polymerases we have generated here, those that are active on RNA templates. On those enzymes, we can further do several rounds of mutation and selection or analysis until we have the optimized DNA polymerase mutant for our applications. This is the results of our endeavors we did over the years. Here is DNA polymerase that has reverse transcriptase and PCR activity. And usual applications, you need to have two enzymes for this, one for the reverse transcription, one for the PCR activity. Our enzyme can do both. This is now primary extension experiments we did. We show here the results of the wild type enzyme on DNA. The wild type enzyme on DNA doesn't have has activity, of course. It extends if the template is in DNA to the full length product. However, if we use RNA, the wild-type enzyme is basically dead under the chosen conditions. There's no significant reverse transcription with the wild-type enzyme. And here are several mutants we picked. Hit one, hit two are the best ones at the end. We found they are all active on DNA, but they're also active on RNA when RNA is used as a template. So really reverse transcription activity. And they also are PCR active, as shown here. Here we used RNA throat extracts from the influenza virus A from 2012, and directly from samples that were taken from patients, and without any RNA extraction, again going from crude extracts and looking at them in real-time PCR curves, and you see where they are supposed to be active, or they were all active in our studies. And that's we were very delighted on that. And this is another building block of the MyPulse product portfolio. This is now further optimized product on that. So Volcano 3G products that you can find at MyPulse. However, we are not only interested in generating these enzymes for application. We somehow want to understand how this new activity is embedded. And so we embarked on crystal structure elucidation of these enzymes. We were very lucky to obtain this Volcano DNA polymerase in crystals, where it's processing DNA templates as well as RNA templates. And the next movie shows you a morph between the DNA structure to the RNA structure. What you see now in the middle is the DNA DNA complex, and now it's the RNA DNA complex. These are the differences the DNA polymerase has to adapt. And you could see that this was really shifted away from its original position of the original DNA polymerase. And the next scheme somehow summarizes what we found. This is the reverse transcription active DNA polymerase in the complex with DNA. DNA, what we find is are these kind of interactions. These are exactly the same interactions as from the wild type enzyme, nothing special, nothing particularly interesting, But if you look then at the complex with the RNA template strand and the DNA primer strand, we see that particularly on the template strand, a lot of interactions are missing, and that I have to be compensated by other interactions here on the primer side. And the primer side, as you can see them here. Yeah, I guess it's very interesting to getting these kind of atomistic insights into this DNA polymerase. This DNA polymerase we now use as a platform for further modifications, for further applications, for instance, chasing modifications in RNA. RNA is highly modified, so we have about 150 post-transcription RNA modifications in RNA, not only in tRNA, there they are most abundant and perhaps most known, but also in mRNA and ribosomal RNA. And two very prominent modifications are those at the 2' A side here, it's sugar, but also on the A on the nucleobase. And we found means on PCR as well as next generation sequencing to detect these modifications by very simple PCR based or DNA polymerase based methods. However, most important applications is of course the detection of the coronavirus. And in 2020, in a cooperation of MyPulse, the lab of a colleague of mine in transfection biology, as well as the local hospital and the local diagnostic laboratory here in Konstanz and my lab, we developed a first direct SARS-CoV-2 detection assay where we targeted the N gene. We needed to use a second primer, which was a bit complicated then, but however, the data we obtained were reliable, and if we did everything afterwards, edited a DNA specific dye, one could really look at N specific amplifications with a naked eye, so without using a real time PCR machine. But the real time PCR machine worked very nicely. These are the samples, the results of samples that we collected directly from patients, no? Directly from swabs. No? But however, over the time, over the weeks afterwards at MyPulse, we optimized this kit, that it doesn't work with an additional primer. It works just as all other SARS-CoV-2 detection kits, but it works directly from throat washers. So you gargle 20 to 30 seconds. That's what I did this morning here at the university, for instance. We use it. And we don't process the samples anymore afterwards, so we don't purify the RNA from these samples, which saves time and money. And this is that why this PCR run takes only 1 hour. And of course, a bit depending on the PCR cycler speed, but no RNA extraction it's needed. It runs on every standard real-time PCR light cycler and has been proved that it works now over 1 million times. If you need more information on that, look at the homepage of MyPulse. At YouTube, there's a video on that, or contact us. We are very open and happy to answer your questions. With this, I'm already done, and I would like to thank you for your attention and sending greetings from the Lake of Konstanz, the very south of Germany. Thank you.
Thank you for that interesting webinar, Andreas and Kevin. So let's move on to the last part of today's webinar, which is the question and answer session. So the first question we've got is, how much time will the zero step save?
All right, that's I can take that. That's an interesting one. So in principle, at least there is already an hour reduction from the time due to the fact that you don't have the RT step. But you can, in principle, even reduce this to, single minutes, but that will also be dependent on the instrument itself.
That's perfect. Thanks very much. On to the next question. And this one is this a unique product?
Andy, can I take this one also? So, yeah, absolutely. So it is a unique product. Typically, if you see what we have currently in the market is that it's you have an RT step, which is very temperature sensitive, and that is a limitation for quantitative RT-PCR. And what this product does now is that it really obviates that limitation and really now allows scientists to even come up with new ideas of how to improve and speed up assay development. So yes, the answer to the question, yes, it's a unique product.
That's great. Thank you, Kevin. On to the next question, and this one is, how do you see the future of polymerase engineering evolving? I don't know if Kevin or Andreas, you want to start?
I'll let Andre take that one.
Well, yeah. it's a very interesting question, of course, but I could talk for hours now. And there are many aspects, of course. I think the most important is, of course, getting more and more into these other screening formats where you can answer. They can deal big libraries and you can adapt these kind of screening technologies to very particular conditions. That's something I think would be really the future of the engineering and going away from my dream, going away from purification and going directly using crude substrates and high specificity and selectivity. This is certainly the aim, what we follow here at my research place at the University of Konstanz. Kevin, you might want to add something.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I think also as the diagnostic market is, the demand for the test is changing. We want diagnostic tests which are faster, also tests which can be used at home. So I see also there will be the need to engineer even much, much faster enzymes, which can allow diagnostic tests to be performed in minutes. Tests that can be used at home, so no extraction. So I see quite a lot of, focus also in that area as well, in terms of DNA engineering.
That's great. Thank you both. So we've got another question that's come through, and this one is, if we start from DNA and not RNA, what would be the PCR runtime?
I would say it depends. It depends on the primer design. It depends on the instrument that you're using. So I know that there are customers who have run, even with our reagents, with minutes, So in that sense, it's hard to say, depending on what application you're doing, what instrument. So there would be need to, there's the need to have to do some optimization to be able to get the fastest number that you could get. But in principle, like I said, this could be in single digits of minutes.
That's perfect. Thanks very much. And we've got time for one last question. And this one is, can we use the enzyme for multiplex assays up to 5 or 6 targets per reaction? And if yes, do you have data?
I can take this one. I think Andy can maybe want to add if needed. Yes, you can do multiplex with these enzymes. And of course, I'm not now sure which enzyme we are referring to. But I can say that we have worked with customers who are using our enzyme for lots of different targets at the same time. And they have shared those data with us. Of course, I don't know now if I can share it with you freely, but I'm happy to discuss this further, after the webinar, and also help any interested scientists to develop, whatever multiplex they want to do.
That's great. Andreas, do you have anything to add to that?
That is, I guess, Kevin nicely answered that for my post perspective. For us, it's of course a very interesting aspect as well to look at this. But at the university, the prime aim is first getting the mutants, and then looking at the properties. Multiplex is something perhaps we have to look more in future at the university. Yeah. Thank you.
That's great. Well, thanks very much. That's all we've got time for today. So thank you to Andreas and Kevin for the informative discussion and presentation. And thank you to everyone joining us online and for sending in your questions. I hope that you found this a worthwhile session. If you've got any other questions, please feel free to email me at editor@selectscience.net, and I'll follow up with your questions after the event. If you would like to listen again to the webinar or invite a friend to listen, it will be available to watch on demand in just a few days. Goodbye, and thank you once again for joining us.
Bye-bye.